Matt, I thought it'd be a good idea to just get to know you a little bit. So do you want to tell us about what you do in life?
I'm Matt. Hello. I'm a worship leader. I am a student. I study music business at music school, ACM in Guildford, for any of you that know. I heard a woo. There you go. Woo from fellow ACM student. But yeah, that's my life, basically.
And what do you do to unwind, relax, apart from play guitar? Is that it?
Play piano. I don't know. I like to run. I like to hang out with my friends, and that sounds so basic, but I really appreciate people's time and just, like, I suppose just giving back to people that have also given to me when I've needed it. And I'm going to talk about that later, so that's cool.
And have you been a long-term Ashton resident?
I have, all my life.
All your life.
Okay. Find me on Craddock's Avenue.
Just hanging around.
Just hanging around, yeah. Seriously.
Great. Well, Matt, I'm going to pray for you before you
thank
preach.
Thank you, man.
God, we thank you for Matt and the person you've grown him up to be here in Ashton. God, we thank you for everything he's prepared for us to hear tonight. May his words be your words, Lord. May he be speaking the truth tonight. And Lord, for us as we listen, prepare our hearts, help us to work out how you're speaking to us tonight. And bless Matt as he speaks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. As was mentioned earlier, we're talking about Jesus, the light of the world. I'm just going to quickly read to you John chapter 8, verse 12. So you can find it if you choose. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's quickly pray, and then we'll stop. Lord, may we long to understand you more, to hear you more, and to see you more. Amen. Okay, I'm now going to welcome Joe Taylor to the stage. Woo! Woo! I actually mentioned Joe right at the end of the talk, but we'll get there. Joe's going to run around. We're looking at light. So when I say light, what do people think of? I suppose I'm speaking about three interactions that we have with light. So light, how do we interact with it? Put your hands up. Let's go.
A light switch.
Light switch. Cool.
Anyone else?
Understanding.
Understanding. Okay.
The sun.
The sun. Nice one. Joe, we've got one right in the corner just to make you run.
Give me a little workout.
That was planned.
Headlights.
Headlights. There we go. Awesome.
No, no one said lightsaber yet.
Lightsaber. All right, there we go. Sadly, I'm not talking about a lightsaber. But so, when prepping this talk, I asked a lot of friends about analogies with light and stuff. And one that rose that I thought was really profound and I really liked. When you go to a live concert and see a band, I like music, by the way, often in intimate moments in these live performances, you'll see the crowd turning on their torchlight. And just one torchlight looks a bit naff. But actually, combined, you have this... Oh, look, they're starting it. That wasn't planned, but go for it. You have this sea of light, this really beautiful, it's like a sea of stars. And I'll just leave that with you and we'll come back to that right at the end. The opposite of really gentle phone light are these stage lights. And actually, so the first thing I'm going to talk about, my first of 3 points, is how light exposes us. A couple of times ago when I was leading worship, I was standing exactly where James was, and these lights are so bright, I was honestly sweating a lot, a lot. And I remember I left the stage after the first set, and I was really sweaty, and I felt really embarrassed, and I felt really vulnerable. I thought it was taken away from the music and from the worship, and then I had to take myself aside and say, you know, this isn't about you, this is about God. You don't matter in this, but also that it's okay to be exposed. So John chapter 8, verse 12 starts by saying, when Jesus spoke again. And the first time he speaks in this chapter is in verse 7. And actually, he's stopping the stoning of a woman who's committed adultery. I'm sure most of you or many of you know that verse. The words that come early on in the chapter are, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. The woman was exposed and in full light, in full daylight. And with that, all of her sin was evident. And in I was not committing adultery and being on stage, but I've also felt exposed, and we often feel exposed, and I think that's a reason we often avoid the light, because when we're in the light, people see our sin, we see our sin, and we have to accept it, and also God sees our sin. But like in this passage, it's clear that the only person whose judgment matters is the Lord's. And actually Jesus goes to a woman who has sinned and forgives her and stops other people judging. So I suppose my first point is, God sees our failures and loves us regardless. So don't be afraid of being exposed by that light. My second point, light guides us. A song that we're going to sing later, Here I Am to Worship, is one of my all-time favourites. It's ridiculously popular. And actually, worship leaders have to get little copyright numbers before we do a set, because then it's logged by the church and it means that songwriters get available credit. And Here I Am to Worship, even though it was written in 2001, 2002, is still so, so popular, like crazy. All songs are categorised by a lyrical meaning, because it's the lyrics that drive the worship and the worship which guides where our words are going, if that makes sense. The music, sorry, that guides where the worship goes. And I just love the first line of this song. Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. It's like, I don't really need to delve into the meaning of that, but Jesus is light, which stepping down has opened our eyes, and therefore it guides us and it makes our path more clear. Recently at our home group, it's for 18 to 25, so any students around, you're welcome to come talk to me or any of the other guys later and come along. We were discussing knowing our path, which actually tied nicely into Sean's talk a couple of weeks ago on our calling. I'm going to read to you Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And at our home group, we placed a lot of emphasis on this word lamp. So I don't know about you, but when I think of the word lamp, I think of the Pixar lamp, like bouncing along. Also, I think that really what's being meant here is an oil lamp, or, I mean, we have a lantern at home, and I was going to try and find it, but it's somewhere in the shed. And in reality, like, the guy that wrote this psalm, the psalmist, would not have known the bright lights of St. George's. He would have only known a small oil lamp. And I think, therefore, it's clear to say that this lamp lighting our path, being the lamp for our feet, is gentle, and it's only going to show you one step at a time. In reality, like, I don't know what's going to happen in a year's time, and I'm a student, and I graduate next year, and I want a job, preferably, because I want to move out of home. And I don't even know sometimes what's happening in a month's time, or what's happening tomorrow, but Jesus' lamp, God's lamp, is always there to guide us if you seek it out. Back to John. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, we will never walk in darkness. But sometimes I've felt surrounded by it. Let me give you a little testimony. So when I was 17, I was quite rubbish. I actually wrote down in my talk when I was writing, I was a waste man, which means I was rubbish at life. I was rubbish to my friends, and I was rubbish to my family, and I was being rubbish in school, and I was being really rubbish to myself as well. And basically, it took me quite a while to sort of get over that, and actually something else brought me a lot closer to God, because during all of that darkness, I felt so far from Him. And I signed up that summer to a jazz course, back to music, sorry, and I remember being surrounded by these jazzos that used to indulge in all sorts of things. I was 17 years old and surrounded by guys that were really, really passionate about what they did, but did not give a monkey about Jesus or about Christianity or about faith of any sort. There was a vicar that attended this course, and she gave an amazing talk on jazz history one day and about how spirituality is linked to jazz. And after that, we broke off into some bands. So I was with about 10 guys I didn't know, and we started playing spontaneously. And we got talking, and one of the dudes, who was maybe 40-odd, had lost his dad recently, and they had such a beautiful relationship, and he was really grieving, and his dad was an amazing musician. And so we were making this music in this room. This guy starts talking about spirituality and how his opinions on faith. And then he had this prayer that his dad had written, And so again, 10 of us in a room, spontaneous music, and this dude reads this prayer, and the music then just got guided. It was God sent. No one there was a Christian. No one left that room thinking they were a Christian, but everyone was moved, and that was so obvious. And me being the only Christian in the room, I felt the Spirit, and it was mad because these guys were so almost overwhelmed, but still didn't really grasp it. And for me, that drove such a passion for God, but came from the least likely place, because I signed that course up to learn how to play some guitar licks. Like, and that's awesome. I've got a little quote here. In fact, I'm going to come back to that in one sec. I think that in darkness, there's always that lamp. And for me, that lamp, one example of it was that little moment in that room. And it helped guide me, and it helped draw or give me that hunger for God again. Here we go. We'll go on to my quote. I don't have a very diverse knowledge of Christian writers, but I'm a big fan of this guy called Richard Rohr, who I got put onto by a very wonderful woman. I just want to read this quote. It's quite long, but I'll try to take my time. All of life's problems, dilemmas, and difficulties are now resolved, so that's because of Christ, are now resolved not by negativity, attack, criticism, force, or logical resolution, but always by falling into a larger brightness. And our only way out of that darkness is by going towards this light that Jesus brings to our lives. I know that I'm not alone in thinking sometimes I'm around darkness. I know that everyone has had those times. I know that life is up and down. Faith is up and down. However, in hindsight, I'm now aware of all these blessings and all these times where I've seen the Lord, which has guided me through all of that rubbish. Which brings me on to my last point. So we've had light exposes us, light guides us. And my last point is how light can be shared with others. So Isaiah chapter 42 verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the nations. When we choose Jesus, I think we radiate. You know, we're made in the image of God. We're there for a reflection of God. And if Jesus is the light of the world, then we too are called to be a light of the world, because we have that from within us. A recent chat with Bryn sort of confirmed the role of a worship leader to me. It's about serving the congregation, let alone just leading the band, but really it's about serving the congregation and giving back to the congregation, helping them to worship and guiding them. And therefore, it's a service role. And I think all service is a sharing of that light, be it you're praying, caring for people, you're helping them to worship, you're serving them tea, coffee, drinks, love, in a sense. Another little story about leading or music or whatever. A couple months back, I was down to lead, and the day before I was leading, I had an argument with a friend, a really close friend, and it was more a discussion where they just aired a lot of points which I really didn't agree with, but I knew they were vulnerable and telling me this because they were sad. And I forgave them, and I prayed, and I thought I'd forgiven them. And then actually standing on the stage rehearsing, it kept coming back to me. It kept almost stopping me. And I remember speaking to Leah, because she was leading that day, and she said to me, in fact, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly, but sometimes the enemy tries to block out our light and stop us shining for people. When we are going to do good things, doubts and bad thoughts often try to stop us. And that made me think further about not leading worship, but actually in life, when I've seen someone that needs helping, actually when I've been almost called to share my light, has doubt stopped me? And I know that it has. And I suppose that's for you guys to think about as well. Don't let your light be blocked. And don't let those bad thoughts and that darkness and the enemy come in and stop it from being shared. It's also important to be aware that our friends and people around us are also lights. This is my final testimony. And I think it shows how light reflects from others. So, another bit of history. I'm sure a lot of you are aware. I went to university, not music school. I went to Nottingham University for a month. And then I dropped out. And I thought it was the right thing to do. And actually, 100% dropping out was the right thing to do. If I hadn't dropped out, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be as blessed as I currently am. It wasn't easy, but it definitely was the right thing to do. I'll set the scene. It was the night before I was deciding stay or leave, because if I waited any longer, I was going to have to pay a crazy amount of fees, and we all know how expensive uni is. So it's the night before, and then I get a message saying that Joe Taylor, Alan McLeod, Dan Horsted, Richard Ashurst, and others were in Nottingham visiting Anna McLeod. And basically they were like, oh, do you want to come get some chicken? Campus is quite a way away from the city, and I was like quite stressed out thinking about this thing, and I just thought, no, it's a trek, I can't be bothered. But then I knew they were going out, and I also went out. And basically I went out that night, which is very good, because I had a big life choice the next day, so it was a good idea to go clubbing. And I was in the queue for a club, and I hear, in a very familiar voice, Matt Lee! And it was Joe. And Joe and Richard bound up to me. And then we went in, and we had these big discussions and these big chats. And in all honesty, like, there could have been other people that came that day that I knew that didn't have such an impact on me. But I've always respected the guys that were there that night, the whole group. Like, I've always looked up to them because they've been my older peers at life. And they were my life leaders when I was younger. And I've gone to them for prayer, and I've gone to them for help, and I've gone to them for guidance. And actually, I was in this club having these big, profound chats about where my life's going. And I don't want to say that Joe Taylor is the reason I dropped out of uni. That's where it's always going. Yeah, thanks. Because he's not. But Joe said to me, it's okay to take a gap year. You know, it's not slowing you down. I'd convinced myself I was going to be a failure, I was going to be a letdown. No one else was telling me that, but I convinced myself that was the case. But actually, I got support from these guys when I really, really needed it. And as I say, had I not dropped out, I would not be here. And I'm so, so grateful to be here where I am right now. So yeah, so basically, the point of that testimony is light comes from other people. And Joe's light and the light of that group guided me to where I am. That was a lamp to my feet, which is awesome. So yeah, God speaks to you through people. Quickly, that's a fun one, because I wasn't planning on saying this, but it's really cool, and we're excited about it. We went to a prayer meeting earlier, and just before the prayer meeting, I was rushing over to the prayer meeting from my house. In fact, from my girlfriend's house, and I was just telling her mum, oh yeah, I'm a bit of a skeptic about some prayers. You know, prayer is great. I'm not saying it's not. And I think it's really important to pray, but I sometimes get skeptical and I doubt what I hear. And this is cool. I got to the car, I got a text from my dad saying, be a mouthpiece. The Lord is with you, be a mouthpiece. We then turn up, I see Sean. I was like, oh, there's a prayer meeting, we should go to this prayer meeting. Then walk through, not even knowing if it was on or not. There are these three women in there praying, or they've just finished praying. And we asked them what came up, like what images, or they were listening to God, what did he say? And they said about the bells, which Sean mentioned earlier. And they said, yeah, well, we got this word. You are a mouthpiece. That's it. So, yeah, the Lord speaks to you, and it's amazing. I'm just going to read this, because I wrote it, and I like it. Don't doubt the impact that your kindness, empathy, humility, and care has on other people. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So back to that analogy that I mentioned at the start. The sea of phone lights, which looks so beautiful and so bright, even though actually they're really gentle. And, you know, the O2 Arena, for those that have been, is huge. But when all those phone lights go up, it's just incredible. You might think that your light doesn't shine as bright as others, but we don't shine alone, we shine together. That's such a cliche, but I think it's true. So do not put your lamp under a bowl. Put it on a stand alongside your friends and your family. Can I invite you to stand? And I'm just going to close in prayer. Let me just be still for a second. Just think about how light exposes us, how light guides us, and how we too are called to reflect light like a mirror of God. Lord, I pray for your spirit, I pray for your guidance. I pray for your heart. I pray that you open our eyes and help us to see. Pray that we can hear you. Lord, may we long to understand you more, to hear you more, and to see you more. Through you, may we love others and ourselves. Help us be the light of the world to those in darkness through our kindness, our respect, and our acceptance. Amen.